time. But let's begin with a word of prayer together. Our Father, we pray for grace and for wisdom to understand and apply the things we have read, we have studied. We pray that you will help us to find it motivation to do something about what we have learned. We pray that you would help us to see our faith develop into something significant. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we are going to take up once again another doctrine. This is number 4 now. And we're going to look at this subject called faith. What is this thing that we call faith? And what I'm going to try, hopefully, is to give you an idea of how it works, you know, to really, really have a working definition of this thing we call faith. And I really hope that it will stand you in good stead. It is not something that you want to simply understand in your mind. It is something you can actually use. Okay, and so I'm taking a little bit of time to look at 10 different aspects of this thing called faith. And if every point on there you mark for yourself, whether you have, and how many marks you have, you know, 1 to 10. So this is a, you know, check it out. And if you can have 10 upon 10, well, listen, good. Yeah, at least you've got something. That is the first level, section A, you know, you got it. Section B is how to apply it to your life, which I didn't work on, but think about these things here. So in your mind, as we look at the idea of faith and Romans 3:20, sometimes we understand it when we contrast it. Okay? So what is it? So 3:20, for example, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. And that's it. So if we try to work very hard for our salvation, okay, and we try very hard, these are my works, and hopefully by these works, I'm going to be saved. You're going to end up with zero. Okay, so we are not saved by works. So over here, works and faith would be contrasted. Right? So this is an important thing. So I hope everybody got one. You got one mark. Okay? All right. That part we know. Now, this is an important faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 3:22. And in righteousness, we righteousness through faith. Now, that is important of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is in the Lord Jesus Christ, from him, drawing from him, to all upon all who are believing. Now, it's not easy, but you try and think about this. There are two internationally famous gymnasts in the world. One is called Nadia Comăneci. And the other one is another one who has won just as many gold, you know, medals in major competitions. And one of the things that they testify was listening to this on BBC, and they said, when we get down to actually into the place where they do the gym exercises, Nadia can tune out the crowd, tune out everything except the music and the voice of a coach. Now, it's a tuning out complete. So the other one said, I can hear my coach, the music, and my mother. Doesn't matter if there are people clicking with the cameras, or there are people who are whispering, people who are talking, people who are, they completely tune out, except this. And I say, wow, that's exactly what faith is. faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he stands for, all that he believes in, all that he has done, and everything falls out. That's pretty a great amount of focus and concentration. That is what faith is. Right? So when we talk about faith, we're talking about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus. And that's it. You're not talking about people or things or anything else. Just tune out everything and say, that's Jesus. That is an amazing faith. You see, a lot of times when we have our faith in, we have feelings, we have reasoning, we have people, we have all kinds of things, and they confuse the whole issue until we can't think straight. What is real faith? You look at Eugene talking. He's talking about an unborn son. To him, it is so real. What he wants to do, what he wants to be, how he wants to bring up the son, the son is not even there. To him, it is so real. He's been living this for this moment, waiting, counting the days, and Thursday and Friday. See, most of us have forgotten, because all our children grow up, we all have forgotten what it means. But for him, it's real. It tunes out everything else, just this. That's what faith is. If only we can zero in, tune out everything else, focus on the Lord and nothing else. I hope you get another mark right. Okay, 2 marks, right, huh? So that's 2 marks out of 10. You're doing well. Let's press on. Okay, you got that one right. Number 3. Now, we go on sharper focus in the propitiation of God by the blood of Christ. Now, that is an even sharper focus. So what is our focus here? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed for us. Now that is going to require quite a bit of fine-tuning. And we just look at the Lord Jesus Christ and focus on the person of Christ himself alone. And I think that this is something that we want to look at. This idea of looking at faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Focus is what Christ has done, how he died, how he shed his blood for us. And why don't you look at that? Frankly, everything else falters and fails. There's nothing to compare. Right? Now, this is something that we want. So I hope that one is right too. You got 3 out of 10, so not bad. Let's go on. Okay, now let's go on with this. Is where we faith in God as the justifier. So we stand before God and the one who justifies us, and that person is God himself. Now it's a little bit harder, but again, here we think in terms of God as the justifier. It's still not so hard because it's all focused on God. So, okay, we got 4, almost passing mark already. One more to go. And then we at least have got 50% right. Let's hope we make it this one. Now, this one is a little bit challenging. Okay? And this is where in Romans 3 and 27, faith is now described as the law principle. Now, in the Old Testament, this was never described as simply a law. The law was very specific. Laws of Moses, found in the writings of Deuteronomy, Exodus, Leviticus, and so on and so forth. Right? Other things. But the word faith is never written as a law. It sort of is an understood thing. And I was reading a story about this lady who was from Poland and how she found faith in the Lord. And, still remember the days when the Nazis told the Polish people, we want 5,000 men to be in the square here. If you give us a 5,000 men for the, work camps and all that, we will leave everybody alone. So they came up with 5,000 men. in belief that they will actually leave them alone and they will let them go. This is 1940s. You know what happened to the 5,000 men? They disappeared. In less than a month's time, another order was given. Now we want 10,000 people. And so they gave the next 10,000 in the hope that they would keep their word. 15,000 people were sent to the guest chambers. That they learned something. This is not true. The women were all imprinted on their forearm. The pretty ones. Only four officers. They became the people who were sent as prostitutes to the officers. And they began to realize that the Nazis were not keeping their word. Now, it's a really, really, really important. We think that Nazism has died. That's not true. In the U.S., they held a meeting. And 25,000 neo-Nazi, pro-Nazi people turned up for that meeting. Today is the Chancellor Merkel will become most likely continue on with a fourth term. But there is a rising up a new people. And they are pro-neo-Nazi people, far right. It hasn't gone away. And they learned one thing. They had to learn to live by only one thing, the law of faith in God. By the end of the Second World War, they couldn't find a single Polish Jew in Poland. They either died or they fled the country. And it was something that they have never forgotten. Several years ago, they tried to bring back the first Polish synagogue. And it was a very, very painful time for all the people. 70, 80 years may have passed by. They have never forgotten what they had suffered. And they don't want ever to forget those things which are there. As we understand this. The rising of this neo-Nazi thing, people, it's a frightening thing. It's there. It's all over Europe. This is how anti-immigration is felt by the far right, and it becomes painfully obvious. The evil that is there is really, really exists. It's like, as it were, like a law. It's like a law of sin. It's there, and you can't get out of it. What is the way in which we can combat this? And the only way is this, look at this thing, to look at faith. Look at faith as a law. Now, looking at it as a law means I have to understand it. I have to fulfill it. If I don't have faith, it's like I'm breaking the law. That is the strength of the idea. Not an easy thing to understand and to apply. But this is where this is how it works. See, if I live, I have to ask myself consciously. Okay, I understand God. I understand the Lord Jesus. I understand how He shed His blood for me. And I ask myself, do I really believe? And if I do, then it must be consistent in the way I think, the way I live, the way I work, the way I feel. Everything becomes a part of me. It is translated as law of faith. How do I live? By faith. So it's not, faith is therefore now not seen as an option. It's not a nice to have. It's, I gotta have it. I've got to utilize it. So that's how Paul, it is now described simply as law. 3:27. Let's take a look at this very carefully. Okay, so let's look at this, and then Paul tells us very clearly. Therefore, we conclude. Okay, this is very important. This is important. We conclude this. What is it? A man is justified And absolutely, it is by the law of faith. So we see a contrast, not by works, but by the law of faith. So if I don't apply this faith, as it were, by law, I don't have it. Okay, so that is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. Okay, I hope we've got 5 out of 10. At least we have come to the passing mark. The only problem is that passing this faith, law of faith, is not an easy thing, but let's try. Okay, well, here we go. And 3:28 further, okay, we conclude a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Now, this is going to be very, very, very hard. You know, this is something that's very hard for the Jewish people as they understand it. You know, the Jewish way of looking at the Sabbath and everything else is, you know, they got the Sabbath prayers, which are richly beautiful in themselves. They talk about God. He was saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God." The word Lord, they don't use it at all. You know, this is their regard for God. So if they spell Lord, they will spell, they will never spell it completely. So the typical Jew, when he says, "Hear, O Israel," they will not say the Lord our God. They will say the Eternal One, or simply the Eternal. That's it. Hear, O Israel, the Eternal is one. They will never pronounce it. To them, it is law. They will never use the name. They will find a substitute, because the idea of this word here literally can be translated as the Eternal One. You can translate it as the one who is, who was, who is to come. That is the word. They don't use it, this Eternal, straight away in their prayers. You know, so whenever they light the Sabbath candles, amongst the very, very strict Jews, they light the Sabbath candle. You know what it represents? Light. Always a prayer for light to come. Where do you think that is? The soul is the light. So these were very painful prayers that the Polish people, Jews, actually prayed for every time they remember what they were going through, all in secret, all in hiding, and it was a very, very, very painful time for them. So every Sabbath that they have, it's always this prayer that many struggle. Where is God? How is it that He has allowed His people to die like that? Many, many other people today who become secular Jews because they cannot understand how the law of faith actually works. How can God allow His people to go through so much and then to die? It has been a very, very painful time. And this is where sometimes you talk about the law of faith, it's hard to apply it. Against all odds, you say, "I believe in God." Not circumstances, not pain, not suffering, not death of loved ones, just simply God and nobody else. That is what we mean by the law of faith that excludes everything. And it's not easy, because when we look at our life, we plan, we reason out, we figure things out, we look at all the signs, look at all the things there, and then we say, okay, our approach to life is just simply reasoned out approach. We don't know how to use the law of faith. And that is not an easy thing to do in any way. But that is how Paul understood the idea of calling it by faith, justified by faith. You see, you apply it. How do I get saved? How do I get justified? Just faith. in God, in Jesus, in His blood, in His grace, and nothing else is there except that one word, faith. You tune out everything else. Now that is hard. This is why a lot of people, when we present salvation to people without the understanding of faith, you almost have to ask yourself, is that real faith? Think about this thing. Okay, now, let's now look at faith and the law combined together. 3:31. Now that's interesting. Do we make void the law through faith? Paul said, no. We establish the law. Now that becomes something that is even more challenging. How do we establish something which is already there? Okay, literally what it means is we make law stand. That's what we establish. Not that you need to prove it. No, no. It's just simply we affirm. This is the idea. We affirm it and it stands along the way. That is what it is. So is the law in any way contrary to faith? No. Paul says the law literally points to faith in God because the law is from God in the first place, right? The law tells us about God, teaches us about God. So the law should actually lead us to a true understanding of faith. And once we get a true understanding of faith, we just confirm the law rather than the word establish it. Because we're saying the law is right because it points to faith in God. So I work backwards. If I have faith in God, and where does it come from? The law. Therefore, faith establishes the law. That's theology for you, Paul. This is a very complex mind. Okay, I hope we are going on nicely. EF 6 upon 10, hopefully. Now we are looking at 7 upon 10, all right? Isn't it wonderful? Okay, well, let's look at it and we will... So he argues again, now we go to H. Okay, and H is there counted for righteousness. Okay, now so when God looks at our faith, He examines our heart. Is God there? Is Jesus there? Is faith in Him there? Right? And if the answer is yes, then it is accounted to you. But if you see there in the person, no, the reasoning is there, the trust in self is there, the trust in your works is there, the trust in your own idea is there, and it's all flimsy, you don't have it. And this is important for us, and this is something that it is accounted to him for righteousness. In old Europe, there was an old custom. They don't do that anymore. Very interesting custom. When the king dies, he is allowed to go and be buried in the crypt, you know, below below the surface of the church. So this is the floor of the church there. Inside, there is a crypt. And then the king, because he's a king, ceremoniously they were brought into the crypt. And there they must answer some questions by the guards. And so they will announce, open the gates. Who goes there? The gates remain closed. And then they will announce the name of the king. And the guards remain, nope. But he has done this, he has done that, he has done this, he's been king for so many years, he built schools, he built hospitals, he's generous, he's kind, he's a philanthropist. No admission. These are his works. Finally, they come. This is the king. He relies totally on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, His grace that is given. Please enter. There is no other way you can get entry into the royal crypt except through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ expressed. That is how we are going to enter heaven. Faith in God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith in the blood of Christ, faith in all that he has done at the end of life. All the money we give away, all the kind things we do, all the good works we do will not see the gates of heaven open. It is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that makes all the difference in the world. Okay, think about this thing. This is really, really, really important for us. This is what we pray. To him who does not work, not that there are no works, it means that we do not rely on our works to go to heaven before God. We can't. Okay? And then, of course, we have the example of Abraham very, very clearly stated in chapter 4 and verse 9. Okay? So then we ask ourselves, the idea of grace, then it must be of faith, that it may be truly of grace. Okay, now let's take a look at this very, very carefully, and this is something that we look at. Okay, so in chapter 4, in verse 9, we say faith was accounted to him, and then the whole argument of it all is that it must be by grace and grace alone. Verse 16. Okay, that text was just missing there. It's 4:16. Okay, so we read, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Right? It's not there. For that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Right? So this is very important. So what is the principle of faith? Simply grace. So law, faith, grace, they do not contradict each other. They don't clash. They are all very closely related. So if I were to stand before God, I would stand simply, completely, entirely, 100% on grace. But I need that faith as a principle to draw on that grace. So if I don't have the law of faith operating in me, I will never understand grace. So there is works, there is grace. This is man, this is from God. How do I understand this? Through eyes of faith. Right? Through eyes of faith. That's how I understand it. And faith in God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith in his blood shed for me, I tune out everything else. This is not going to be or earn me 1 minute in heaven. It is entirely by grace. But how does it work with this? Then becomes my law. This is something we try and teach the student pastors to have, to live by the law of faith. Not grace, because grace just simply opens up the portals. I need to exercise that faith in God's grace, in God's word, in God himself, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything else. This is my operation of faith in the Lord. I think that is really, really an interesting understanding of what it means to appreciate this. All right, any questions? Raise up. I'd be happy to take up. How does it work in real life? I hope you have got 10 upon 10. It should, and then after you get 10 upon 10, you have only begun. This is where you only begun. Now I must exercise my faith. Now I must use my faith. Try it. It helps a lot when we look at faith and its application in our life. mean, it really makes a lot of difference. And all the time, I keep on encouraging, you know, look at the student pastors. They look at all the challenges, how hard it is to study God's word, how hard it is to understand complex things, how hard it is. I keep on thinking how hard it is. I keep on telling, this is faith, this is faith, this is faith. And writes it all the way through, faith. That is something we need to grapple with. Instead of relying on human reasoning and things like that, you know, Rocket Man, and then the other side is shouting back at him, and then you will fire rockets, we'll fire this. Where is that faith in God today? It's so hard to find. They will tell you, faith, you're very simplistic, you're being idealistic, you are, it's impossible. That's how the world wants to tell us. But that is exactly what faith is all about. Right? And if we can understand this idea of faith, and if we look at the example of you know, let's look at the book of Hebrews 11 and you see how people express this faith. And this is important for us. Okay? Now, this is an interesting word. Okay, we begin with Hebrews chapter 11 and how the writer defines his idea of faith. Yeah, now this is an interesting word because we read. Now, faith is the substance. Now, what does it really mean, substance? Okay. Now, we call it a substance, literally. But what on earth is this word called substance? What's another word for it? Literally, this word is it is something we stand upon. Faith is something that I can say, I am standing upon this. That is called substance. What am I standing upon? In this case, I'm standing upon my knowledge of God, my faith in God, my understanding of the Lord Jesus, my understanding of the Word. This becomes the substance, the thing that I build upon which I stand. So how was Bethany built? I believe in God's word. I believe that his word has everything. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in, and upon all these things that I believe in, we built the church from 1944 years ago. We built from there. Now that is your substance of things. Okay? Now, next week I will be talking about the things hoped for. Now, so I will save it for next week. Some things that, so faith and hope actually go together. Right? So this is my faith, but since there are many things not realized yet, not clear yet, not fully comprehended yet, I use faith. I use hope as my basis. Now that is an interesting thing to see. Right? So there is that hope that is there. Now, we go to the next part of it. Now, this is that very interesting. The word is the word evidence of things not seen. What is this word evidence? Now, this word has been translated and interpreted in different ways in different texts. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, let me give you now. It sounds like a very unusual way of translating. Look at, this is interesting to see in chapter 3 at verse 16. Okay, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then the first word for teaching. Okay, we understand this doctrine. And the next word is the word is elenkon, which is reproof, translated reproof. This same word, reproof, is actually Hebrews 11:1. Evidence. In other words, the reproof comes when, the word here literally means exposure. It means this, I'm going to say this to you, I tell you where you're wrong, I will bring you to God's word, I'll expose you to the word of God. I will show you the evidence of the word of God. And if you were convicted by it, you will feel reproved. Yes, you're right and I'm wrong. Now, this is what we call an applied word. It's called an applied meaning rather than an actual meaning. So the idea of reproof is, so we look at the word of God, say 10 upon 10, and we look at my faith. Actually, I am trusting in my works. Actually, I'm trusting in myself. Actually, I'm trusting in my own reasoning. Actually, I'm trusting in my feelings. So you begin to realize what you, that means to say you didn't pass, you get a 10 upon 10 marks. You are wrong. And when you are wrong, because of the evidence of material that I show you today, the evidence of what I show you today ends up in reproof for our soul. I have been wrong, I am reproved, I stand corrected. Now that is the word reproof here. But actually it means evidence. So the Word of God gives us clear evidence of what faith is all about. But it is an evidence that helps us to understand where we are wrong. And so we end up being reproved. Right? So when you meet somebody from Thailand, you see in your heart, in your mind, I'm probably not very suitably impressed, because chances are maybe this person has got a little bit of corruption here, corruption there, you know, things like that. Because, you know, this is almost a kind of mindset we have of the people here. Until he comes across, he says, I want to tell you about Jesus. I want to tell you about my faith in him. I want to tell you how I was saved. I want to tell you what God has done for me. It is all about God. And so I stand reproved. Because, you know, it's about what God can do, not about what I think. It's not what I see. It's not what I know. It's not what I've read. Now, this is living proof. Now, that is the idea of elenko. The evidence. Where is the evidence of faith? It is in the things we do. The evidence of things which are there. The idea here is that of I'm seeing it in my life. So how do I show my faith? James says, by my works. Same idea. So what is the reality of my faith? You see it in my works. I mean, it's wonderful to see this, you know. So he has heard Dr. Daniel's compositions, and he says, you know what I see? I don't just simply see this. I see Dr. Daniel's work is actually God working through him. I like that approach. Sorry, but you know, it is putting you down. Not putting you down, but just lifting God up. See, that's how we should see. Our faith should see beyond the human being. Please do not associate Bethany with me. Associate it with God's grace, God's work, God's power at work. And that same God, that same power, my prayer is, will be in the lives of the student pastors in time to come. It will be exemplified in their life. And then you see, so this is what faith is. This is how faith works. And that would be really uplifting and thrilling and refreshing to speak about it. You know, thank you for what you said last week, because so many people were encouraged. He said the focus on the Lord Jesus Christ is so clear. Wow, that is what I want to do. I just want to bear witness of the Lord at all. Wow. See, that's what we want to do, to speak of the Lord. Not about ourselves. We speak about what God is, what He can do in our hearts and our lives, if we just have the required law of faith. So faith is not a nice thing to have. It operates. What's the operating principle? What's my operating system like? Law of faith. Everything I do, law of faith. So why am I? Is my faith there? I check. Is it in God? Is it in His Word? Is it in the Spirit of God? Is it not based upon, wow, you're very skilled, you're very talented, you're very good, you're able to... No, none of these things. None of these things. Just simply God, the Lord Jesus Christ, His Word, and everything else. That is pure faith. This is what the Lord commends. This is what the Lord... Without this kind of faith, impossible to please God. Not an easy thing to have. See, how do you make a connection? You can't. I tell you very frankly, you cannot pass your faith to somebody. It is something that God must do. And if He can do it, He will do it. Thank God. But that is what He must do. It's something that I look for all the time. Lord, help me find the faith for next year, 2018. I am very, very conscious. But, you know, when I see, you know, people who live to a ripe old age, it gives me, well, maybe I'm not so old anymore, you know, that there's yet life ahead. What else can I do for the Lord? Well, I want to live. I want to exercise this faith rather than not. Okay? Now, I just want to tell you that it's possible to have 10 upon 10. Right? And this is very important. But remember, 10 upon 10, don't congratulate yourself. Put it into action. It's there for you to use. Use it. 10 upon 10 and be set aside. And then, you know, I mean, that would be a shame. But this is something that, you know, the best thing to do is just simply do not worry. Exercise that faith. In everything, by prayer, thanksgiving, let this request be made known to God. Let there be prayer rather than this worries. Okay, well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the faith that we can have in the Lord Jesus, in your word, in yourself. And we pray that our life will be ruled by just one simple law, that of faith. And we pray, Father, that you will bless as we take time to think about what it means to exercise this law of faith in our daily life. We pray that we will find our souls strengthened, our hearts refreshed, and our minds even stronger as we apply this law of faith in our life. We ask you to bless us as we continue to seek to ask for that grace, to practice this as a daily exercise in our life. We ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Amen.